Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Zach Gowen. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, the debut of Carolla's commercial commentary, and a call from a U.S. Border Patrol agent. And now, he'll do it with style. He does it to me. Oh, yes, he does. Adam Carolla.
I'm going to do the whole song.
This whole week just song lyrics?
Same song. Yeah, man. Get it on. Got to get it on. A judgment to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grant?
We sure do.
And Bald Brian.
Swear my shoes.
Right here. You got one.
All right. So much to talk about.
Just be careful backing up during the show today.
Philly cheesesteak is
a large speed bump.
With me. The kids.
Yeah, people who bring their dogs everywhere.
Oh,
right?
The worst.
And the wife are out of town.
Is this a Chicago thing or is this something else?
Doing a Carolla drinks thing in New York and then Chicago where the kids are. And then
they've been there for a while.
They are.
Sorry, we never got an explanation.
I shall.
Where are the children? Everyone's
where are the children?
Do you know where your children are?
I see
are?
The hashtags all over Twitter. Where are the children?
I'll give some plugs, Carolla drinks, a second tonight, tomorrow night, I guess. Yeah. Okay. Now, the kids. The kids are happy to go with their Aunt Wendy in Chicago and Uncle Ron, who is the wife or the ex-wife of Lynette's brother, who's remarried but still Aunt Wendy, and moved to Chicago where they live in a big, fun house. And the kids are more than happy to go with anyone that will do anything for them and take them anywhere, have fun with them and throw a ball with them and take them out rock climbing and blah, blah, blah.
Leave the shackles of their mundane life behind, the zip lines and the pools and the Fortnite on a giant projection screen.
Yes. And I was giving this some thought and I was talking about it. I was kind of trying to work it out loud, but I would be interested in getting some feedback from the crew here because I have a theory. First things first, my kids are just having the time of their life and they like everyone and everyone likes them and they're always around other people and they're kind of mature in that sense and they're not freaked out by adults or stranger adults. They'll be happy to like go hang out with Dr. Drew and his buddy or something. Like they don't care. So they're kind of old souls. They get along with everybody, not really each other, but everyone else. Right. And they love it when one of Lynette's friends grabs them and takes them to the beach for the day or something. Natalia loves Gina. She'd happily go sleep in your room and not in her room.
Yay!
At the hotel. She's super comfortable and happy with everybody. And they have a good life. So they go to Chicago for a week and they enjoy their life even more. I realize I don't travel unless I need to. They're going to Chicago for a week. I'm going to Europe for 3.5 days. So I have a little different schedule. It's a wiring. And we'll see if we can get to the bottom of this wiring by checking everyone around us. Yeah. I'll tell you guys, and thank you guys for our sponsors, Quicken Loans. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam for this half of the show. Zoom, go to zoom.us, and MedMen, go to MedMen.com. Let them know I sent you. And Simply Safe, go to simplysafeadam.com. My theory is the following. I am stuff-oriented and maybe a little less experience-oriented, but things-oriented. Mm-hmm. I always have been. Now, when I was a kid, I was tortured because I didn't have anything. I didn't have a garage. I didn't have tools. I had the world's worst dad in that. Like, again, if you loved the flugelhorn, then Jim Carolla was the dad for you. But if you loved wrenching on a 10-speed, that these were the worst people. I cannot express how uninto this stuff my dad is. It's not expressible. It's not expressible how uninto the mechanical world, cars, building, wrenching, putting a deck on, you know, all the Budweiser commercial stuff. My dad, I was
Clydesdales.
I was in the edit bay with Tony at the other shop the other day, and I just said, my dad lives that way. I just like pointed to my left. I said, he lives that way, Altadena. He lives that way, 6 miles. I said, my mom lives that way. I pointed the opposite way, North Hollywood, 6 miles, maybe 5 miles from here. You will never see one of them ever, ever. That's how uninto the 10 Paul Newman race cars and whatever else they are. They could not find humans that walk among us that are less into it, and obviously you can't find too many guys that are more into it than me. So this was a horrible existence for me because they weren't into it, and guess who had none of the money? Right. Them. Guess who was in charge of deciding whether we were going to go to Sears and buy a socket set or not?
Of the $0, they controlled it all.
They controlled the purse strings to the empty fucking purse.
It's just the strings.
They literally just the play strings. With those strings. I'm like, Dad, can I hang myself with one of those strings? No, I'm busy playing at the... Go to your room in the poorhouse. We already live there. That's how I used to yell that at Drew all the time. He's like, my dad would always threaten he's going to take us to the poorhouse. I said, well, we lived in the poorhouse. We're not going anywhere. We're going to the outhouse.
Nowhere else to go.
He opened the wallet and moths arrived. My moths!
You know, the my pretties! Oh, the humanity. So that was my life. And I remember once a year, my grandmother worked at the VA in Westwood. And once a year, they would do some sort of conference in somewhere around Carmel or Big Sur, somewhere in that area,
Central
that
California.
Neck of the woods.
Beautiful area.
Beautiful. And my grandmother was mean and not a flattering person to talk to by any stretch of the means, many means, but she had a car, she had a job, she put on makeup and like left the house.
Wow. Member of society.
Show off.
She ate red meat. She did like weird things. She had a glass of wine with her meal and stuff. She did all the things the Carollas never did. And my grandfather was a nice guy. So, and I think they realized what we were up against, like me and my sister. So once a year, for a number of years, they would go up to this conference for like 3 days, and they would take me and my sister with them. And it's sort of like when you grab some kid from the inner city and you just take him to the beach or the woods.
The fresh air fund.
They can't believe it. Yeah. And so we would go up there.
How much does this cost?
And we'd just stay in like the same room in a motel or whatever. But it was like 3 days of nature and traveling around. We'd go out to eat and stuff like that. And I remember very clearly when I was about 11, around day 2.5 or when we were driving home, longing for my dirt bike, my BMX bike. I wanted to get my hands on my bike. There were things I wanted to do to the bike. It wasn't that nice. It wasn't very expensive. It's just, I was literally sort of having withdrawal. Mm. I was like, I've not seen my stuff in like 3 or 4 days. I can't get my hands on my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, literally now picture myself in the back of grandma's car driving down Highway 1 and thinking, God, I could get to that bike. and I'm going to put new, you know, grease in the bearings for the crank or whatever. And I had these sort of thoughts of things I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. Now, the house was a piece of shit. Parents were a piece of shit. Everything was a piece of shit. But I still wanted to get my hands on my bike, yeah, which I would, keep in my room. Yeah. And...
Lest anyone else get their grimy hands on it.
Now I realize, as I think about whenever I start to make a composite of guys I know and girls I know, well, actually, this is an interesting thing. Mm. Girls in general are probably less stuff and more experience, and thus tend to appreciate travel or want to travel. Or travel for me is just work. It's not a hobby, and it just means time away from my stuff, and I want to get my hands on my stuff. My kids don't have the wrencher gene, so their stuff is everywhere. Right. Their stuff is the world.
Right.
And they're going to go experience other people's stuff. As I think about, you know, sharing an office with Jimmy Kimmel and Daniel Kelson, they love to travel and go experience stuff, but they're not wranchers. They don't have stuff. Mm. I'm always, where's my project? I'm in the middle of my project and I have to go away. How's that project going? Building a house, doing something, working on something. Right. So now I start thinking, judging from guys like Leno, flying into Atlantic City on a Saturday and flying home from Atlantic City on a Saturday night and being back in L.A. early morning Sunday wee hours Saturday night, that's pretty insane in terms of how far you travel.
Day trip.
And spending less than he spent less than 5 hours in Atlantic City. He was back on a plane and heading this way. I haven't spoken to him about it. I will. I get the feeling he's into his stuff.
Jay?
Thus,
Jay Leno?
I think we have proof of that.
But thus,
there's one guy
not into travel.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of one or the other.
Right.
Because you don't go to Europe for 3 weeks if you're Jay Leno. You want to get at your stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You got projects. You got cars that are half built.
So who... Now, I'm trying to think of who the... There's no gearheads here. Is there stuff-oriented people here?
There's tech people, though. People like their tech.
Yeah. Now they're bringing their tech, though. But, yeah. I mean, Dawson's the engineer. But I'm assuming everyone here wants to travel and have an experience.
I sure do.
Absolutely. I'm much more experience-oriented than I am stuff-oriented. The stuff, I'm thinking about it now, the stuff that I have, the things, the electronics or things around the house or whatever, is all the stuff that I love and can't live without enhances the experience. Like, I think about my Sonos, which is a thing I love, and I'm like, I can't live without this Sonos system in my house. It makes the whole house more fun. It makes entertaining more fun. It makes morning, but Tessa dances now to oldies in the morning. That is a cool experience that I cannot replicate without this thing in my life. So the things that enhance experiences, I'm about those things, but given
the choice.
But
that's home-based.
What do you mean?
You can't travel with...
No, you're right. Yes, that's what my next sentence was going to be. Given the choice between the experience / travel and the home / stuff, I'll take the experience / travel.
Yeah, I love I love getting stuff. I love being sent stuff. But I, first of all, if I'm buying a big ticket item or a big ticket item for me, I immediately feel guilty and I know myself. I know I'll get bored with it. But if I can look forward to a little vacation or a little getaway, that whole looking forward to process and plan and finding everything, that keeps me going for months. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the big payoff of the vacation, there's nothing better.
All right. How's the apartment and the free Subaru working out?
Oh, Subaru's not free anymore, but the apartment's pretty good.
In Koreatown.
None Koreatown.
The point is this. I realized my stuff, the reason, being stuff-oriented is probably the reason I have three warehouses.
Yeah.
And so I think, well, my kids just struck a great deal with the gods because their dad is stuff oriented and they're not.
Yep.
And I'm just going to die and leave them a bunch
of
stuff.
Meanwhile, they're vacation oriented.
Right. And this is a way they can maintain their vacation oriented, their vacation centric lifestyle.
Yeah.
They
struck gold.
I also have this thing. And maybe it's it may be a freelance thing. I don't know, but I've never really had a job where I got paid if I wasn't there. So
no vacation days.
Going away for 2 weeks is a little off the table because that's not getting paid for 2 weeks.
Yeah, you conditioned yourself through the type of employment you do.
I did. I and then construction was like, look, you would have an anxiety attack if 2 days was that getting paid for the, you couldn't have a 25-hour week. It would break you. Like, you couldn't pay your rent, you know, the next month. So there was some of that. So I also have this thing of, if I'm going to be somewhere, I can be somewhere for 3 or 4 days, but I can't go 2 weeks. I got to get paid. And I'm going to Europe, but I would never go to Europe unless I was getting paid to go shoot a bunch of car stuff to go to Europe, because I'd go, well, there's no excuse. You got to pack the car and get the Uber and the Airbnbs and all that.
But is there anything you would want to do while you're there for 72 hours that you're like, you know what? I'm here. I might as well see the Louvre. I might as well, wherever you're going
to
be, you know?
We're going to be too far out of town to get to those places.
I want to see some sheep.
I did get Lord Richmond, I think, invited me. Lord Richmond, we got to look at his castle, the Goodwood Estate, but I just got an email from Lord Richmond, who basically said,
This is a Bugs Bunny character. I'm Lord Richman.
I buy
the castle, dear boy.
I do. So there's a big gala that takes place on Saturday night last year. The Pretenders played and whatever. A big deal. I don't know. 500 people show up. And then like Cirque du Soleil set up in the backyard with the whole, the whole nine yards. And then the fireworks show and the whole everything. But that Saturday night, I got the Friday night invite, which has come up. Ooh. Just a couple of people are going to be here Friday night. Yeah. And I think, back to Leno, I think I remember talking to Leno about this. And he said, oh, you go into the library and you like pull up maps of what they thought the Earth looked like.
Oh, yeah.
Like in
old maps are sweet.
1621 or whatever.
The flat earthers.
Yeah.
And well, it's like misshapen continents, because they obviously couldn't, you know, map them very well. They just, here's where we think it starts. Here's where we think it ends.
Who's Lord? Pull up Lord.
Richman.
Lord Richman.
Do you come by the estate, dear boy?
I want to see some of that estate. But anyway, that'll be fun. That'll be an experience.
That's an experience. That's awesome.
Do you have to wear a tuxedo?
It said business casual.
Oh, don't go too casual.
I'm not going too casual.
Tuck in the Michael Rapport shirt and you'll be good.
And a monocle.
I'll tell you about Zoom. Zoom.us. Flawless video, clear audio, and instant sharing across any device, desktop, laptop, tablet, or mobile device. Striking HD video. 25 people live on one screen. I love it. Share anything from any device. Word files, spreadsheets, videos, YouTube. I was talking to these guys in a big conference call, and they were using Zoom, and they were pulling up some stand-up that was me doing stand-up on YouTube that I don't even really remember doing. Anyway, photos from your phone, whatever you want. Even set up a green screen and create a backdrop for your client's logo or some exotic location. Visit Zoom.us to set up your free account today. Meet happy with Zoom Video Communications. Again, you can set up your free account at zoom.us, at zoom.us. So Phil's back there. Phil's snoring now. Phil, Jesus Christ, look at this castle.
Oh, my God. That is a city. That's a compound.
Yeah, that's a fjord. That's a fortified, like, you know,
fortress. Yeah.
That has walls. Yeah, so nobody
fortified
can get...
Fortified fortress.
So the race is a hill climb, which is up Lord Richmond's driveway. You don't get to the castle. You just get like up the driveway. And at some point, you turn around and you come back down. And it's kind of a crazy thing. But that'll be pretty good to go to Lord Goodwood. He got upgraded to Duke or something like that. I have no idea how any of it works, and probably best. Phil is here because working on the house, cleaning a bunch of grout, painting the deck. Phil's going to get in the way and trot through everyone's paint. The kids are gone. The wife's gone. And no sock is safe. And Phil is attending work with Daddy. So one of the topics that interim producer Kalen didn't know was on the docket is him.
Oh.
Ooh.
Huh?
Show me that video. I got a hill climb. I'll show you a second of last year.
This is
2016.
Good one. This is a good one?
Yeah. Gotta get that sound going, Kalen.
We need a better word for driveway than driveway, because this is not a driveway.
You got any sound? No? Oh, there's no sound?
No, there's sound. They're figuring it out.
Oh, okay. You can see, go, we'll put up at adamcarolla.com. checking out. You go by thousands and thousands of people up this long, stupid driveway.
Come on, Kalen.
Come on, Kalen. And they line this driveway all the way up. They get 150,000 people at this event. And Dawson's disgusted over there. What's going on, Dawson?
So contemptuous.
I'm waiting for a sound feed.
The sound's the best part of an engine getting revved up. Well, you can stop it then. That's fine. You can stop it.
How long, miles, meters, how long is this quote-unquote driveway that we're not used to when we think of a driveway?
It's a mile and a little bit of change. I don't know. The real fast guys are doing it in like 45 seconds or something, but they're hauling ass. But it's also kind of a weird place because it gets some rain. And once it gets some rain, there's green, wet grass on each side of the track. And if you hit it, you just launch off the side of the track, and then you don't have a lot of room after that, and you're going to hit something, and you're going to screw something up. I never worry about me, but I do worry about the car, and you do. Now you have to. It's a funny thing because where people get into trouble at Goodwood on the hill climb is there's people, thousands of people that line the driveway, both sides of barricades, but there's thousands and thousands of people there. And you have to extinguish the notion of showing off. Because if you go, I'm going to give these guys a show. Like the guys who get into trouble, you know, they get the F1 car and they stop and they do some crazy burnout or they do a motorcycle with the guys going, I'm going to do a wheelie all the way down the whatever. And it's like, it's great, but he holds it a little too long and then he drops it and now he's run out of room. And that's where these guys... Yeah. Get into trouble. You could probably find, Kalen, go to YouTube or whatever, just find like Goodwood hill climb mishaps or something, and you'll see a lot of people doing a lot of stupid stuff.
I don't know why, but for some reason, it just seems like a more embarrassing place for that to happen, too.
Right.
Like, as opposed to on a track.
But nobody has made this pilgrimage to see you in your turbo 935 Porsche and not wind that engine up and give it the sound that they're all standing around in the speed that they want to see and hear, you know? Yeah. Like, no one wants to see you take this for a slow walk
up Sunday
this driveway.
Slow and steady.
They're lined up and they want to hear it. They want to hear that car. They want to feel it and they want to whatever it.
Oh, it's going to be off. It's going to be in the grass, sliding, and he's gone heavily off the back road there.
Into so much hay.
So much hay.
Yeah, a lot of hay.
It's called bavay.
And a lot of guys just drop. Once you drop that tire, there's trouble once you drop that tire on that grass.
Yep. There he goes.
Yep, once you drop it on, you get no... You got no trash, you got no brakes, you got no anything, and you bust up these really nice historic cars.
Nice bales of hay. Neatly bailed.
Yeah, everyone screws up. So you have to resist the temptation to show off. Now, Kalen, so where was I? I'll keep you guys, I'll fill you in on that as it goes. Kalen is filling in for Chris Maxbata, who's at his brother's wedding, and Kalen's a newly minted dime. He's a new broom, sweeping clean.
Oh, wow.
I'll take it.
He's motivated. But I had my theory some years ago that I wanted to try out on Kalen, which is I had this theory that young men were a little too comfortable. Mm-hmm. My theories differ from young men to young women a little bit. I'm a little old-fashioned. I feel like it's a little more on the guy to get out there and earn and make sure he can... pay a mortgage and take care of when the wife has the kids and gets pregnant, whatever. Somebody's got to bring the food back and someone's got to take care of the babies, at least at the beginning part. And I want to know what the young men are up to. And I had the theory that TVs were too cheap, internet was free, smartphones were smarter than we are, and everything was coming down in price. Everyone, no one is a car guy anymore. So as long as you get yourself a Mini Cooper and the air conditioning works just fine, it's an automatic. You get from point A to point B. Lots of Groupon and lots of, hey, for $20, I got the Micro Brew Fest down at Santa Anita. $20, you can drink all day. Like a lot of free, a lot of stuff that says, hey, you can squander an entire weekend and barely spend any money, but get fat and drunk easily.
It's a good message.
Now, when I was young, when I was 22, 23, being poor sucked. Yeah. There's nothing to do. There's no, oh, we got a $69 Southwest flight. We're going to the Bay Area, and we got the Groupon or the Airbnb and a few friends together. It's not going to cost anything. Like, there was none of that. It was just like, you're poor, you stay at home and no air, and you watch a small TV set and you rot.
Like, or you lay flat in the back of a pickup truck all the way to Vegas.
Yeah and also,
you really pick your poison.
There was a huge chasm on what kind of car you got to drive. You don't get a Mercedes Benz. You don't get anything that's
safe.
You don't get anything new. You don't get anything with air conditioning. You don't get anything that works. You don't get anything. You get an old beater, and life's a bitch because you're always broken down by the side of the road and blah, blah, blah. My theory, which I tested out on Kalen a few years ago, was proven correct, which is, he didn't want anything. He had a good TV. He had a decent enough ride. He had air conditioning. He was pretty chillaxed.
Yep. All hand-me-downs.
But
very little's not within reach.
Right. So why work weekends? Why work overtime? Why get out there and really get your hustle on? But then something has changed with young Kalen. What has changed? What's going on with you, Kalen?
Well, I back in October, moved back in with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
We saved some money.
Sweet.
No, not sweet. I don't enjoy it. I especially don't like being 26 and living with my dad. It very much hinders the love life, so I'm trying to get the hell out of there.
Because all the girls want to get to Michael.
I was going
to
say, I'll pass Mike Kane.
How many times a day does he yell, stand down?
Spill the same blood and the same mud.
Dad, I'm putting syrup in hot cereal. That's not quite... Hey! Don't talk back to me. Spill the same blood in the same mud. Yeah. Hey, so you want to get out of there. You're motivated. But what about the mindset? You're pretty chillax last time we spoke about, you know, hey, you got your you got a buzz going. You got a flat panel TV. Things are chill.
Well, it was actually a conversation that we had a few months ago. I don't know if you remember. It was on a Saturday.
Probably
I came
not.
In to clean
Probably
up the
not.
Other warehouse. And you told me that, you know, this job is great and you come in and do your work, but you should have something that's for you that you're doing outside of this job that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
So I have...
Oh, I want you to wash my car.
Literally outside
the shop, about 8 feet.
So I'm still looking for that thing outside of this job that'll also make me some more money that I can do happily.
All right. Well, it's a
right
new Kalen, everybody.
He's putting his resume out there is what I'm hearing is what this is.
I like that. All right, let's see. Zach Gowen is going to come in here, professional wrestler and American Ninja Warrior competitor,
yes.
Motivational speaker. I've got a really inspirational story, so I'll tell you about that in a second. We got my commercial commentary. Let me see. I made all kinds of notes of stuff I wanted to talk about. Oh, on a sad note, colonoscopy coming up on Monday.
Live show.
So there's that.
Remote.
And speaking of that, and Drew, I always try to figure out what Drew's up to in life. And one of Drew's things was, I was with him yesterday and we're doing some podcasting, and then he sat where I sat, and then he does what drives me nuts, which is he drank his Coke, his Diet Coke, and then he left his bottle. The number of times I said to Drew, like, hey, come in, sit here, use my studio, do whatever you want, but don't let me know you were here. Just bus your stuff.
And it's not an empty bottle. There's one-tenth of a Diet Coke in
there.
There's
a swallow.
So, God,
right.
I can see the hesitance for someone to remove it, because, God, for someone's probably finished their Diet Coke.
But the question really is this. Did Drew forget about it? Because he sees it, and he kind of knows, like, I've had many discussions with him where he knows what's going on, but he goes, I didn't remember. I didn't recall. It's like, but that's not who you are, though, Drew. You're a studious guy who takes marching orders and knows pretty well where, you know, you're the guy who comes in here. And I always tell people this story because I think it's just a great story, which is we're talking about, I was making fun of Gabe yesterday saying, you're not that good. You're not good enough to put the keys in your pocket. You're not good enough. You're going to forget about it. And you do. And so, no, you don't. And the great Dr. Drew puts his keys in the refrigerator because he doesn't want to forget his flu vaccine, which needs to be refrigerated for the 2 hours he's going to be here. And then he's going to take it off to his radio show and inject some strangers. So he knows that if he puts it in the fridge.
Hey, you, come here.
What I'm trying to explain to everybody is The only difference between Gabe, who puts his my keys in his pocket and walks around all day, or anyone who does this kind of stuff, and Dr. Drew, is that Dr. Drew knows he's not good enough to pull this off. It's not that he's better than Gabe. He's the same as Gabe.
He's just more aware of his
badness. But he knows he's going to be like Gabe. Yep. So he puts his keys in the refrigerator so that he cannot forget. He physically cannot leave this property without this, which also then tends to cause you to remember.
Yeah, of course.
Which is kind of self-fulfilling. But anyway. But he still leaves the bottle here. And he also does things which are weird. Like, I've told Drew a million times, like, don't, like, you know, we used to argue all the time when he'd do Love Line. And always at the beginning of the show, they would hand him, as the show was starting. It always made me laugh. It made me laugh because it was Drew and everyone who worked at Love Line. They'd hand him a coffee, and I'd go, hey, you're listening to Love Line. Dr. Drew's a board trip. Thank you. Bar served by physician, addiction medicine. And I just went, could we just have a policy where you hand him the fucking mug before the show starts or after the show starts? Him yelling thank you into a mic randomly and slamming the thing down while the show is opening. And I would say to like junior producer Lauren, like, you have to get the mug in here 15 seconds earlier on a nightly basis.
Not a huge ask.
And she'd say, like, the coffee pot's on the other side or whatever. And I'd go, yeah, understood. But the mug comes in to Drew because Drew has to slam it down and has to yell thank you into the mic to nobody when I'm starting the show. I feel like we could get around this.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a way to solve this problem. I think it took about a day and a half, and it just happened again. Like, it was like that. The great thing about Love Line and all fuck ups is it's not like you have to have this conversation again this time next year. It is the next, like, if that was a Tuesday night, Thursday night was right back to the mug, the thank you, and the slam. Just weird. And then I said to Lauren, like, did we just talk about this? And she's like, yeah, but we made the pot of coffee too late, or whatever it was. It's like, oh yeah, we could never eat. I'm fond of saying if this was a war, we would all be dead. Fine. But I've talked to Drew about that a million times, and he doesn't kind of know what I'm talking about. Another thing that Drew loves to do, he loves to pick up paper and do this into the microphone with it. And my thing is sort of like, I believe, watch how smooth this is. When I'm talking about MedMen, I don't want it to feel like someone handed me a piece of paper and I'm reading off it. I'm living it, redefining the cannabis industry premium shopping experience. And now, through Phil snoring, through June,
they'll chill you 30th, out, apparently.
Yeah, they're having a huge sale, 70% off your favorite brands like Bloom and Papa and Barkley, Triple J, and more. Plus, $10 off for just mentioning me. How about that, Seamless, Gina Grad?
That was fantastic. And speaking of Seamless, they are the nicest, most knowledgeable people you will ever meet in this industry. They're welcoming. They're warm. There's no such thing as a stupid question. They're happy to answer everything. And they're really friendly. It's worth going in just to check everything out and talk to them.
Highest quality and safety. Don't worry about what you're buying. The store's having a big sale to make room for a voluntary switch to newer child-resistant packaging. So why not take some of that inventory off their hands, and you can check out their 8 locations, L.A., Orange County, San Diego, or Vegas. Visit them at MedMen.com. Find a store nearest you. Dawson.
Visit MedMen until June 30th for 70% off select favorites, and mention the Adam Carolla Show for $10 off your order as well. Check out MedMen today.
So if Drew has a little piece of business to do like Dawson just did, which he will, which is about 10 seconds long, if I'm doing my commercial, he will hold the paper up and just do this, which is first things first, we have the little easel stand here. Yeah. You don't need to pick it up. Secondly, you shaking the paper around basically just signals to the world, oh, Drew's going to read something, which I don't like, but there's a way to avoid it. What do you think that is? And I've talked to him about 3,000 times. He's like, I got flippers for hands. And I'm like, well, don't pick it up. Just set it up. Just read it. Just do it without. You don't have to shake it into the mic. And he's like, hey, dude, I'm spastic or whatever. And I'm like, Now, you know, you don't have to leave your Diet Coke bottle and you don't have to shake papers like into the mic and you don't have to clank. I had to buy a bunch of coasters so he could put his mug down without banging it on the thing. What is that? What do we think that is?
Pretend like a baby's asleep next door or piped into the microphone with headphones on. And how difficult would it be then to avoid making sound? I'm guessing with the proper motivation, sound could be avoided pretty easily.
Yes. Yeah. Famously, when he was writing his book on narcissism and he was getting all the celebrities to take the test, and the celebrities would take the test in the middle of the show because that's what he wanted. He would, I would constantly tell him, you must tell them they may take the test during the commercial, but when the commercial break ends, they have to put their pencils down because everyone's completely checked out and they're reading your questionnaire and they're filling in boxes when I'm trying to interview them. And Drew is like, I'll do my best. And then he would sit there where Brian is, and he would like watch the guest where Gina is filling out the paperwork when we came back, and he would never say anything to them. And then I would yell at him, and he'd go like, dude, I didn't know. And then I would yell, give me your keys. And then he'd yell, they're in the fridge. And I'd say,
with the flu shots.
Give me your keys. And he'd go, why? And I'd say, because you can't drive. And he'd go, why not? I go, you're severely impaired. You can't see the person is filling out a piece of paper 4 feet from you on a clipboard you handed them. But he didn't want that. Yeah. That's what I realized. And that's what I also sort of realized, the power of you wanting something versus sort of what is, like all the people where the bank screws up and transfers $10,000 into your checking account, and then at some point they want their money back, and you're like, that's my money. And it's like,
you're stealing from me.
Wow. This is how you go through life. Like, right. This is your yardstick for justice. And if that was $10,000 out of your account into someone else's account, it'd be a completely different situation, which is, be buoyant, everybody. Don't have, here's how I act when stuff gets put in my account, outrage, that's my money, versus money out of your account and so on. And do not have two different modalities. Have one consistent one.
Right.
It'll help people believe you when you talk. All right. Yes.
Question. Will you be open and willing to film yourself coming out of anesthesia?
Oh.
Because I think we'd all enjoy that a lot.
I would. I'm a heavyweight, so I don't have those stupid moments where I'm...
That you know of.
You know, out is out.
Yeah, I'm super, super good that way. I'm the best person ever to come out of anesthesia. But
you don't come out swinging, because some people do that.
I don't have anything that would delight anybody. I am the person. I'm the best person to either come out of anesthesia, receive oral, or you give me the news that my car has been destroyed by you. There's nobody better. I just stand there and go, all right, what's next? Mm-hmm. I don't have any reaction at all because it's non-logical to me. I just want to know, what's the number of the insurance company? I come out that way, too.
With your boast that you're the best person ever to come out of anesthesia, you're getting this close to being Uncle Rico. Like, think I can throw the football over them mountains?
Yeah.
You make these, like the Dr. Evil. He would make insane claims, like he invented the question mark.
Nobody receives oral, nobody comes out of anesthesia, and nobody's a better person to tell bad news to.
Mr. No Self-Esteem, everyone.
Than the Ace Man over here. Now, that's all. Some people write poems, some climb mountains. I come out of anesthesia.
Wow.
Now, that brings up a good question that I need to follow up with, because Drew said, who's gotten a few colonoscopies, Drew said, are you getting the whatever... Or are you getting the magic milk, the Michael Jackson?
Oh, the propofol.
Propofol.
Oh, as opposed to an injection?
Yeah. And I said, or whatever, different types of ways to kind of put you out. And he said, the propofol is much better. And I said, yeah, I don't know, but sign me up for that. Like, I want that one, not the other one.
All right. Well, let's see how much better it is.
Yeah. Now, propofol is, I got it with Jacko. Like, you take a little bit of that stuff and you go, oh, I get it. He want to go to bed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I see what all the fuss is about.
All right. We have our Corolla's commercial commentary.
We do.
All right. We got some commercials built up.
Let's watch some TV. It's time for Corolla's commercial commentary.
I'm going to watch TV.
Thank you.
If you guys, I'm looking at Phil right now, but every time I see him, I'm picturing him on a hoodie or a beach towel. If you guys want to go to AdamCarolla.com and get some merch, you can see Phil recreate his pose.
Is he okay? Because you gave him a decent jostle and he has not moved.
Yeah, it's a propofol.
Yeah. Yeah. Milk. Magic milk bone.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah, he's fine. He just, he likes to splay out. And at some point, he'll get up and start pushing on me.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Sorry.
All right, here we go with the first commercial.
Here's the deal.
All right. Hold on, where's my button?
Is this the dude from the from Deadpool?
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
He's
a taxi driver.
I did not. Oh, there he is. Good recognition.
It took a second and a half.
No, it was good. I did not recognize him. Let me say this. As I say, the commercials capture the zeitgeist of where we're in more than, you know, people look at architecture, people look at car styling, fashion, music, and stuff like that. But if you really want to narrow it down to the month we're living in.
These are of the moment.
Go look at those Spuds McKenzie commercials from the 80s. Go look at some of the 90s stuff. Go look at the 70s, the 50s. Not a second cup of coffee. You know, the wife, June Cleaver's upset. You know,
like, he never has a second cup of coffee.
It is a perfect snapshot of where we're living. And this is now the new world order. The spokespeople aren't, you know, big white guys who look like Tab Hunter or anything. They're like this multicultural, ethnic, and no traditional good looks anymore. Just this every dude vibe.
And we are at the tail end of it. We had a very strong run of when it was like white guy spokesman, it was weird bearded hipster white guy spokesman. I'm thinking like Captain Obvious. I'm thinking like the, was there a progressive guy or a nationwide
what's
guy?
What's his name is still doing the thing for... The guy from Silicon Valley still doing
Verizon.
Like yes, non-spokespeople. Mm-hmm. You know, people, if they had a spokesperson casting call in the 60s, these guys would have been drawn and courted. Yeah. Like, they would have just been asked to leave. Yeah. It's like, no, we need to kill you so you can't create any more mutants who are going to screw up our casting calls. Yes. All right. So sorry.
So set the table.
Start this
a bit
one
here.
At the beginning. He's standing by.
This is Diet Coke.
He's a food truck. He's drinking a Diet Coke. He just got it from a food truck. Again, we wouldn't have food trucks weren't cool, so that wouldn't have been considered. They're called roach coaches. A guy of maybe Mexican descent hands him the Diet Coke, and we'll let him.
He's a nondescript red teacher.
He's not
with
dressed
an acid
up.
Watch.
Right. Yeah, right. He's very jacket. Casual, and he's just walking and talking to the camera. Here we go.
Thanks. Here's the deal. I like Diet Coke. It's super good. And now they have new flavors like Feisty Cherry.
Feisty Cherry.
Except.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally into this. Just like how I'm into getting a haircut and then waiting for people to ask, did you get a haircut? Oh, maybe you're into friends who leave voicemails? I know I am. Look, whatever you're into, you're into. Keep being into it. And I'll continue to be into Diet Coke. Because I can.
It's these non-commercial commercials. No. Like, hey, you're into stuff? I'm into stuff. He's into stuff. I like to run in there and yell, hey, I'm into Pepsi, bitch. How about that? It's just this weird...
Probably would make the final cut.
I'm sorry. They don't edit these. They go live.
It's live to tape. Wow.
Yeah, I was just TiVoing this, but it was a live stream.
Weird. I didn't know that.
They're using all the buzzwords that make it sound like your dad's trying to be cool. Hey, do you think stuff is super good, too? Because you can.
Because I can.
So this is this new weird soft sell, non-sell kind of stuff. Again, the commercials used to be a guy with a baseball bat or a tire iron, like hitting a Pontiac GTO in the nose going, you can't dent this thing, or like twin I-beam suspension, Mr. Majestic jumping a pickup truck and like stuff like that. It's a, you know, John Cameron Swayze. We take it a Timex. We duct taped it to the front of a Zodiac boat and took it out on high seas. It's still ticking. Like, we should just beat the shit out of stuff and then go, look at it.
Still works.
He put it on the wrist of a guy who was an Acapulco cliff diver and have him dive off the cliff and then like come back up. That's a licking. Stuff used to be tough
That's
and
a
still
sweet
work.
Commercial.
You know?
Bring that back.
I know. Now it's just, hey, you be me, I be you.
And
you
because
ever
I
be
can,
around?
It's such like a nothing slogan. You know what I mean? It's such a nothing tagline.
But there must be something going on in Madison Avenue where they're like, these kids don't like being talked to at all.
Right,
just pretend you're not doing a commercial.
The things that he likes are not only nondescript. They're generally things that people who are men don't really fucking care about.
Yeah, they're mundane.
I got a haircut. Who gives a shit? Yeah. And please don't leave a voicemail. I don't want to fucking hear.
Well, hold the phone on the voicemail, Dawson, which I'm glad you brought this up, because I studied this commercial, and I was kind of going, is he bringing up ironic things that people shouldn't like but do like, or is he mean it? There's a version of bringing up your haircut or leaving a message which you shouldn't like, but I don't know.
But he's the exception, so thus there's a Diet Coke for him.
Because he can.
Is that what he's saying?
He's feisty cherry.
That's probably right, yeah.
That's probably what they're trying to say, but it confuses it with the haircut thing because that's so mundane. That's neither here nor there. I'm guessing, not knowing myself, I'm guessing the average person wouldn't mind if you said, hey, nice haircut. That's okay. Thanks.
Well, this is my point is everyone's reasonably intelligent here and we're confused. So mission not accomplished, script writer, which is pick things that you know people hate and then say, I like them. But yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
we need to hear him one more time with his haircut and his outgoing, not outgoing message, but his message. Because those, to me, are two things that you could like, or one could like. Mm-hmm. All right, let's try it.
It's super good. And now they have new flavors like feisty cherry.
Mm. Hold the commercial.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally into this. Just like how I'm into getting a haircut and then waiting for people to ask, did you get a haircut? Oh, maybe you're into friends who leave voicemails? I know I am. Look. Whatever you're into, you're into.
What is
ironic?
I think I cracked the code. So he, if I may, I think he's saying this is my flavor. It's sort of unique. I like these other unique things. These are my idiosyncrasies. It's like I get a haircut and then wait anxiously for people to say nice haircut. I like when people leave voicemails, which is a little, again, these are not solid examples, but I think it's supposed to be like, I'm idiosyncratic. I like this flavor and I like these other things.
Dawson's confused.
Both of those things could be widely generalized to entire populations in either direction.
Well, I think some people want messages. Right?
Yeah, that's why it's
and some people
executed.
Want, but he also did something that made it even more confusing is when he did the person, when he mimicked or mocked the person going, did you get a haircut? He did it in a sing-songy way that was making fun of them. So now I'm even more confused. Like, why?
I think he's 100%. He believes in what he is saying. He loves voicemails, and when he gets a haircut, he wants the attention.
Why did he mock the person that went, did you get a haircut? It was a weird read.
It wasn't mocking. Put it up again. I don't think it was mocking.
I thought he was being totally sarcastic when he said
that. It sounded like he was making fun of the person who asked him who got the haircut, and then if he truly liked that, it's a weird way to deliver it. See? And also find the Timex commercial where the Acapulco cliff diver just showed, because we wouldn't have to argue about that. He thought this was a badass watch for $14. So he strapped it to the arm of this Mexican and he told him to dive into the sea. No subtext. Sorry. All right, one more time.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally into this. Just like how I'm into getting a haircut and then waiting for people to ask, did you get a haircut? Oh, maybe you're into friends who leave voicemails? I know I am. Look. Whatever you're into, you're into.
Okay,
keep being into it.
You need to do a better job with your copy, because these are both things that you couldn't really make a clear argument for liking or not liking, and now we don't know what's going on.
Christy and I do a version of This at Home where I yell about commercials, and she explains to me from her experience in working in the advertising industry, here's what went wrong. I can hear her voice saying it went wrong from like strategy, which was, here's the insight. Here's where the insight is. The insight is you're into this thing, and maybe not everyone else is, but it's your thing to execution, which is poor because these are not wildly unique things that he's into. They're kind of mundane, like, all right, I mean, like 40% of people I know are into, you know what I mean? They don't make you an individual, a unique individual.
They're neither here nor there.
Yeah,
most people would enjoy a compliment after a haircut.
Yeah.
And
a voicemail is at best mildly annoying.
Some people rely on them. Like, some people use them.
Yeah,
I don't
appreciate letting people go to voicemail.
Let's talk about the haircut thing. I guess maybe it's one thing that if you get a haircut and you're like, I wonder if anyone's going to notice how you get a haircut. But are you going to walk down the street and announce to the world that this is on your mind?
I don't know. I'm confused, but it's all part of the we're not doing a commercial commercial. And my feeling is
very little about the product.
Whether it was Cal Worthington and his hippo that he was riding, I'm into commercials that are commercials. You have John Cameron Swayze and Timex. Oh, this is wrong. Don't be an idiot. Kalen, the guy's covered with tattoos. He's wearing a watch from the future. How could that be a Timex commercial?
It says Timex Command, a Red Bull commercial. And he dives off a cliff. Red Bull commercial.
Oh, but the...
Come on, Kalen.
What year do you think the commercial came out?
Come on, Kalen.
1972 or...
This year.
Okay. Go. They recreated the commercial. That's where's Chris? Hey, your dad's calling you.
You suck.
He wants you to open a jar of pickles for him. Says you got to come home. He's just craving a Chicago-style dog right now, and he has his arthritic hand, and he just needs you.
We shared the same dill and the same mill. Didn't make sense, but that's what he says.
We shared the same lean and the same cuisine. We share the same snack and the same well.
Kalen, what's it like just quoting lines to your dad all day, which I have to assume you do, is what I would do.
All right, find that stupid commercial. Don't distract him. I will accept the one strapped to the front of the Zodiac boat as well. Simply Safe, I'll tell you about this. In 2017, the Better Business Bureau heard more than 5,000 complaints about alarm companies. Home security is the top 10% of most complained about industries. I've told you these guys are criminals. They come in here. The scariest guys in the world got to crawl around through your house. The scariest guys in the world are the guys who install alarms.
They know all your secrets.
They know all your secrets, and they know where the underwear drawer is. My friends at Simply Safe Home Security treat you right. No contracts. No hidden anything. I've known these guys for years. They're good people. A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. 10 years running. And over 40,000 five-star reviews online. Simply Safe is what security should be, and you're getting the best protection, period. Visit Simply Safe Adam. Two eyes in there. SimplySafeAdam.com. Or I could do the new wave hipster commercial, which is Simply Safe. Whatever.
Do it or don't, like we can. Yeah,
some people are into it, some people aren't.
I like home security. Maybe you don't.
Talk about other things you like. I like butterflies.
I like my dog Philly cheesesteak. I wouldn't want anyone to steal him.
Or do.
Do I have John Cameron Swayze? With Timex?
Gentlemen, this is John Cameron Swayze reporting for Timex in Acapulco, Mexico. Just behind me, you can see the rugged face of the famous La Perla Cliffs. That gorge goes up, up, up to the height of a 12-story building. And there, climbing barefoot to the top of the cliff, is one of the bravest men I know. That man is Raul Garcia, high-diving champion of the world. Take a good look at his hand. Notice there's a Timex waterproof watch strapped around it. The full shock of impact as Garcia hurtles down to the bottom of the narrow gorge and hits that water at more than 85 miles an hour.
Here he goes. Acapulco
There's
cliff
the signal,
diver.
And there he goes. Boy, what a beautiful dive.
See, that watch is still working.
I bet it's destroyed.
To our camera.
It's not a pile of springs and bolts.
Here it's full of parts. Yeah, in real time.
If anybody's industrious at all,
he reaches for the foothold.
You can find any kind of footage of Trump skeet shooting.
No. Hey, look at that.
We could make a really funny mashup where he just jumps and about halfway down we cut to Trump like firing a shotgun and then we see just a pinata explode in the air.
Wow. He just can't get to the cliff.
Still can't get out.
They've not edited this.
Tremendous swimmer to fight those waves.
The watch is the least of his problems now.
Yeah. He's got to get out of the drink. When I'm on jagged rocks, I don't know about you guys, but I want to be in a really tight speedo.
And nothing else.
I want nothing between me and those rocks. I want to make sure I'm barefoot, and I got as much skin showing as possible. Not only for the ladies, but for John Cameron Swayze.
Look at that watch.
It's still going, still ticking away smoothly. See that sweep hand go?
1 o'clock straight up.
That's the amazing Timex waterproof. Waterproof, dustproof, shock-resistant, the watch that's built for punishment.
All right, well, that's what commercials used to be like. All information. Yeah, because, you know, when you go into the watch store and you're like, look, I only have $11 to spend on a watch, but Here's the caveat.
Here's what I need.
I oftentimes get pushed off of cliffs into bodies of water.
And when I'm not getting pushed, I jump.
So I need something that's going to take a beating. And that's where John Cameron Swayze came in. Yeah, the other one, he strapped another one to the Zodiac boat, the front of a Zodiac boat, and went through like rough seas in it. And I can't remember the rest of them. But by the way, best part of my childhood was watching commercials about watches that couldn't be destroyed.
Yeah.
What's going to happen next?
Cheaper than a Bond movie.
Yeah. I used to think about just the Bond movie. I was thinking about just the other day, which was...
What do you want to know?
Remember how insane impressed we were just with gadgets in a movie? Like if a car was outfitted with any gadgets at all, like, look at that license plate. It flips over and turns into a different number license plate.
Like,
my kid would not be impressed by a license plate that flipped over into another license plate.
That should come standard.
Ejector seat's cool and all that, but they don't care. This idea that there's a car with gadgets.
Well, they're, no, the cars in their family, or no, the family, the cars in the family have license plates, so of course they're interested.
Not the Corolla house. You got John Cameron Swayze with it on a Zodiac boat.
This is the Espadon 422. Ladies and gentlemen, John Cameron Swayze for Timex.
We have attached a Timex Marlin watch to a ring on the front of the
Espadon. It's got the greatest gig in the world,
right?
Right?
Let's see how our Timex does in that rough surf.
Beating the crap out of watches in exotic locales around the world.
Right there.
It's a sweet gig he had.
He starts to pitch Timex on other locations that he wants to vacation.
Yeah, like,
how about the south of France?
Still run accurately. Okay, let's see how our Timex did.
How about my kid's graduation?
It's still going. You know the Marlin has to be rugged to take punishment like that. The famous water-resistant Marlin, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Available
yeah, must have been like
calendar.
After year
or
seven.
$13.95 watch.
Yeah, I could see him going into like the Timex office going, look, I got a little twist on our tail. I know all this stuff is great going on in the rough seas and stuff, but how about I go to a Michelin-rated restaurant?
I mean, that's where you really
take
endure
the wear
abuse.
And tear of toasting fine wine over and over again in the back and forth of a fine piece of cutlery, cutting steak and pheasant under glass, just spitballing.
You haven't seen a Timex watch endure hardship until it's gone to a massage parlor over and over and over again.
That's right. Can it take the heat of a sauna and then a steam bath? What about that? And a whirlpool. How about that? Being blown by a prostitute and pump the fist pump that comes with ejaculation. How about that? Starts getting further and further down the road.
How does it do at altitude?
Yes. All right. Yeah. We're getting on the Concorde.
G4.
All right. Let's see. Thank you, Kalen, for that. Zach Gowan, a professional wrestler and motivated speaker. We'll talk to him. We'll take a quick break. We'll do good sports. We're back with Zach right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Scott Braun and Kelly Nash from MLB Network here with our new show, Baseball and Chill, exclusively on Podcast One Sportsnet.
Kick back with us each week as we cover all of the action on and off the diamond with player interviews and in-depth storyline analysis of what's happening in Major League Baseball.
Relax with us every Tuesday on Baseball and Chill right here on Podcast One. Download and subscribe to new episodes exclusively on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. Also, rate us. Leave us feedback. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we would.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sport.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla over there. Ace, we've been talking about cars. And somehow, magically, you've been able to make it interesting, even to a Jew like me who doesn't care about automobiles necessarily. We were in the midst of a conversation yesterday, and you said, why, by culture, does it seem that interest or lack thereof in cars seems to exist?
Well, the sort of the guys who get their knuckles the greasiest and bust the most their knuckles are just farm boy, white dude, like sort of white trashy guys. Like there's guys the guys who do the most wrenching are just straight white dudes. Then there's like Armenian dudes who like cars, but they have their own kind of flavor on them. Like the black man likes cars, but a little more rim centric than
so
they are.
True. I've never really thought about that, but it is that it is, you can kind of, yeah, you can kind of, I hate the stereotype, but you kind of can say,
yeah, well, look,
that culture's kind of car.
I don't even know. Like, I don't.
It's weird.
It's not, nothing is, you know, everyone worries about being called this and called that. But what I'm saying is it's not really a judgment on good or bad. It's just this group likes these kind of cars.
And it's not an absolute, but yeah, you're absolutely right.
And the Italians are different than the Germans, like in terms of like what they like. But the Jews, they're like conscientious objectors to cars.
It's so true. I mean, there are certain, I know plenty of my people who enjoy a luxurious ride. And then there are plenty of people who like the, you know, the electric cars as well, my people.
Right.
But nobody that I can think of cares about high performance car, like a fast car and racing car.
Now, there isn't.
Or riding a motorcycle. I don't think any Jew has ever ridden a motorcycle.
That's a good point. I've never seen that. And I wonder if there's an intellectual process, which is. The people in general, not just the Jews, but you take like comedians, you know, I don't think Sarah Silverman's a car girl. Oh, that could be strike there with the Judaism and the comedy. But the people, Kimmel never cared about cars. It was a sort of necessary nuisance to him. Like I remember one time I said to him, maybe season 3 of his talk show, and he was still driving around the 6-cylinder used that he bought used. Mercedes, like 190 or whatever, like 230 or whatever the low sort of small boy Mercedes was. And I just said to him, hey, man, you know, you're doing good. And the way I looked at it is white trash from the San Fernando Valley. The reason you wanted to do good is so you could drive a fancy car. That mm-hmm. That was my sort of hillbilly version of the people are doing good. They give themselves a BMW, you know, or
so
Cadillac,
true.
You right. know. And so I said, why don't you get yourself something nice? And he said, you know, like, he was confused. I mean, he went like, kind of like, why? And I was like, because you're rich. You know, and he's like, this car is fine. Like, and I was like, I know it's fine, but you're making a lot of money. I get something. He was like, kind of like, why? Well, I'm a waste of time. Or this gets me from my house to the theater and then back at night, you know? And I remember my other man show compadre Daniel sort of ruminating like sort of out loud once. He just went like, ah, I wish I didn't have to have a car. You know, like he'd rather just hop the subway. And I thought, there is a thing where if you're up in your intellectual process, like Jews, probably not into cars, but there's probably not a whole lot of poets that are into cars. Like, I don't know if Maya Angelou was a gearhead or not. I'm just going to go, no.
We'll never find out.
That's an unanswerable question, obviously.
The only person who knows that is Maya herself, and she took that answer to the grave.
She took it to the grave. So there is a kind of blue collar version, and the Jew collar version is a little more
Jew collar, very good.
A little more white in that collar. And so maybe if you're an attorney or a dentist or a doctor or something, in general, you're a little bit less. But I'll tell you, the successful whitey non-Jews like cars.
So true, right? Yes, if you're a super affluent, high powered defense attorney guy. You probably, and you're Goyim, you probably, if you're a Gentile, you probably do drive like a Lambo or something like that.
I live in a very Gentile neighborhood, but it's successful Gentile, and they're nice cars. Big old gas guzzling Range Rovers and nice car. And guys, when I get together with those rich whitey dads, they want to talk about my Porsche, and they got a Porsche in the garage and stuff like that. So something about the Jews.
I think it's nature and nurture. More nature, but yes, we grow up with our mothers, and you know, I was forbidden. You know, every little boy, I suspect, thinks, I got to get me one of them motorcycles. That's pretty right. Cool looking. And, you know, before, you know, among my earliest memories is you're never getting on one of those. You're never allowed to be on one of those. You're never going to touch one of those.
Oh, well, now you're teeing up the the contrast, the sharp contrast to Mama Carolla, which is the only time I've ever been arrested and literally
got pinched.
Like,
I didn't
detained.
Know that.
Yeah. Now, I've had motorcycles towed 3 times.
Towed? I didn't even know that was a thing for a motorcycle.
One time it got towed in front of my apartment. The other time it was towed from the Century City parking structure. I didn't want to pay the amount, so I just parked it outside and they towed it. And the third time it was towed when I was pulled over on Laurel Canyon, told to get off the bike, wanted to know where my driver's license was for a motorcycle. I was like, I got a regular license and I know how to ride a motorcycle. I'm like, nope. The guy towed it.
Hmm.
But the other time I got pulled over and arrested for warrants, but the bike was not towed. He was a decent cop. This cop was like, look, bad news, I'm arresting you. Good news, I'll let you ride in the front seat, and I won't tow your bike if you just park it on the side street and kick the kickstand out. Like,
the hell?
Yeah. Let me ride in the front seat. It's very it's very demasculating to have another adult male put a seatbelt on for you. People don't realize how weird that feels. Like, you're sitting there with the zip ties around your back, and this guy's, let me put this sash on for you. He's leaning across.
You got zip tied and everything, huh?
I don't think.
I guess they have to. They're arresting you.
I was handcuffed. I don't think he would let me sit in the front seat, because otherwise I'd just grab the shotgun out of the rack and go nuts. Like,
that would be a little bit too familiar.
Right. So
make yourself at home, friend.
He let me ride in the front seat. He took me to North Hollywood and he put me in a holding tank.
Wow.
But the reason I got there, Sheck, first I'll tell you about Double Dare. That's what I want to tell you about. All new Double Dare. The trivia is tough. The challenges are rough, and the giant nose is stuffed. You can't miss a single sloppy second of this, and not sloppy second like in second place, but second as in the clock in the second hand. They got the host. That's Liza Koshy, and she's
Koshy,
and she's Double Dare hooked up with Mark Summers, the Double Dare legend, and they're bringing you the messiest game show on TV. So don't miss the all new Double Dare weeknights, 8 o'clock, 7 Central on Nickelodeon. Let's review Nickelodeon weeknights, 8 o'clock, 7 Central. Double Dare, it is back and back with a vengeance, people. Yeah, so I was eating whole wheat spaghetti at Mama Carolla's house on a Sunday night with my motorcycle parked out front. I didn't live with her. I just went to her house. And I had a Honda 404 with a bald tire on it. Gary will throw up the picture of me, my bathrobe and truck out front of my apartment with my Honda 404. And I said to her, and you know this one, I said, geez, I got to go up Ventura Boulevard. I was working at Hoffman Travel, just filling out envelopes. I was living in a garage. And I said, you know, but I do have all these warrants, and there's all these cops, all the cops up on Ventura Boulevard. I'm scared. I'm scared I'm going to get pulled over.
I've seen this one, yeah.
I'm scared I'm going to get pulled over on my motorcycle on Ventura Boulevard, but I don't have the money to pay the $500 of warrants. Wink, wink. Like, come on, mama. Go for that checkbook, bitch. And she looked at me and she went, I think I have a solution. I was like, oh, good. Because this is the part where you say, like, me goodness. And your stepdad, John, will pay that off, but you're going to have to work it off around here. And she went, take Valley Heart. Valley Heart runs right next to Ventura Boulevard, and there's no cops. There's literally a street that runs parallel with Ventura, but it's not teeming with cops. I was like, all right. Next morning, Monday morning, 8:45, I'm going down Valley Heart.
No way.
And got pulled over and arrested.
No wonder. That's
a contrast in parenting.
Consistency.
We can't say one is good and one is bad. No. They're just different.
The bottom line, to answer your question once and for all, is that here's what I've landed on. Tom Cruise's character, Maverick.
Tom Jews?
I'm turning everything into
Joe. Would have been a very different movie if it had been a Tom Jews instead of Tom Cruise.
Jew collar, Tom Jews. That's right.
Come on, Maverick. We got to get him. We're going to take our time is how we're going to get there. First of all, I need to get
slow
a little something.
Slow and steady first shoots of down all, the mix.
I need to get a little breakfast on my stomach because if I go out for the day, I'm not going to be focused. And that's just going to head me down the rabbit hole. Anyway, I think yes. So he likes to fly the fighter jet. And then also, because he has the need for speed, he talks about it, he's got to ride his motorcycle real fast, too. Athletes, I don't know what Deion Sanders drives around the street, but he's super fast. And so this teaches it. Charlie Sheen could, he lives a fast life to the point that it got so fast that he had to start doing crazier and crazier things to keep the speed up. This is not a Jew's life. There's no speed, physically or otherwise. You've played sports with me. One thing that is not happening is Dave moving fast on his own feet, so I have no compulsion to see how much faster I can go anywhere else.
But tenacious.
Thank you. Grit. That's what I do. All right, let's wrap it up there. Well, you got one more episode of Good Sports for you coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One Sports, Good Sports out. Good Sports.